owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. As I was recently reminded by Adam Bird, founder of the Heroes Media Group, broadcasting is not a right, it is a privilege. I love doing radio. 52 weeks a year, I get to facilitate the telling of stories of amazing men and women, some you've heard of and some you met for the first time via this broadcast. I look forward to finding interesting guests with good stories to tell and what I learn from the show prep and our discussions. It is fun and it is a privilege. However, each year there's one show I dread, Memorial Day. It gives me a knot in my stomach. And while I grind my teeth whenever I hear someone write or say Happy Memorial Day, or when I see advertisements promoting Memorial Day sales, I also recognize it as an opportunity to educate. The majority of our citizens have no direct connection to anyone who served, those men and women who signed a contract knowing full well it may be paid in blood. My brother served in, a special capacity. He has medals and awards for missions that to this day he still cannot discuss, not because he doesn't care to, but because in his words those missions never officially happened. But my family is fortunate that we still get to thank my brother on Veterans Day and not remember him on Memorial Day. Many families are not so lucky. In the words of our guest today, they were drafted against their worst fears into a club that no one wants to belong to, the Gold Star families. So while I dread the Memorial Day show, I'd like to think that those shows are perhaps the most important of the 52 shows I do each year. I think about the exchange between Colonel Hal Moore and reporter Joe Galloway in the film We Were Soldiers, when following the Battle of Ladrang Valley, Galloway tells Moore he doesn't know if he knows how to tell this story, and Moore replies, "Well, you got to, Joe. You tell the American people what these men did here. You tell them how my troopers died." Memorial Day, to remember, to memorialize those who paid the ultimate price to preserve not just our freedoms, but the lives and liberty of so many others around the globe. I have two things to ask of you this weekend. One, it's America. You can do what you want. I'm asking you never to use the word happy when referring to Memorial Day. And number two, find the name of a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or Coast Guard. Learn of their sacrifice and repeat their name. So long as their names are repeated, they will never be forgotten. We begin today's show with the name Sergeant First Class Christopher Domay. Joining me to help me through this show today is Scotty Domay, the Gold Star mom of Christopher. Scotty, welcome to American Warrior Radio, and thank you for sharing your time and thoughts with our listeners this weekend.
Thank you so much, Ben, for asking me to be on your show.
Scotty, hopefully we'll bear each other up. I'm already struggling, but so many other people, you were living your life, and then on October 22nd, 2011, the way you looked at Memorial Day changed, didn't it?
It did. Well, actually, it was my first Memorial Day. That was the night Christopher was killed, and I was informed, and in my first Memorial Day was in 2012, and the Army flew me back to Fort Bragg to unveil my son's name on the wall that nobody wants their son's name on. And that was like my first real look at the reality of what Memorial Day is. And I'm really grateful they did that. That really helped me get me through the first one, I will tell you that.
Now, it's interesting, Scotty. And, Scotty, you very often write on the Havoc Journal. And I'd encourage folks, let me ask a third favor. Go to HavocJournal.com this weekend and read some of the stories there. Some very powerful and diverse opinions about Memorial Day. But Scotty, you, in talking previous interviews, one thing I found interesting is you have said that now all the Rangers are your son.
Yes, when I went to my son's military funeral. Now, you need to understand, I have no military background. And so when I went and we drove up, and there's four rows of Rangers standing up front of the building where we were having the memorial service. As I walked past them, these words popped out of my mouth. you're all my sons. And that is the way I feel. Of course, all those guys who were standing there knew my son in a way I will never know him. Chris went into the Army when he was 18, and 10 years of his life are a black hole to me because he was in the Rangers and couldn't talk about what he did. So they feel like my own sons because they were brothers in arms with my son.
Tell us a little bit about Chris. I don't know if this is still accurate, Scotty, but my understanding was when he was killed by that roadside bomb on October 22nd, 2011, he held the record for the most number of deployments.
Yes, he still is the most deployed soldier in American history to be killed in action. And you know that roadside bomb story? Well, that was kind of like what they tell the media. Actually, what happened, my son was the Army's first qualified JTAC, Joint Terminal Attack Controller.
Mm-hmm.
It had formerly been an Air Force job. And they were going after a Talibani Pakistani IED maker who was very good at what he does. Apparently, most aren't, from what I've been told. And he was killing maybe about over 250 Afghanis a month, is what I was told. So the target they were going after that night, it was important to capture him. And the place was booby-trapped. And so a daisy chain IED was set off, and my son, along with Ashley White and Christopher Harnes, were killed. And then I was told there were, I think, about 20 guys who were knocked out just from the blast, because it was so powerful.
Wow. Did they get him?
Well, you know what? When I went to Dover, I asked, and I wasn't given an answer. And then a year later, I was told, yes, they did get him. And they said he had been killed. But you know, really interesting thing, I didn't feel good about knowing he had been killed, because he has a family that loves him. I mean, obviously I didn't agree with his theological bent on, you know, killing your neighbors, but it didn't feel good to hear that he'd been killed.
Scotty, it's been now I should never do math in public.
Eight years.
One thing I take comfort in, and some strength to some extent, is reading your stories and your articles, the extent to which the Ranger community circled around you and lifted you up. And even what you're relaying to us now, we both know that sometimes, I cited my brother's example, there's things that folks tell you in confidence that is not public knowledge. And it seems like the Rangers are helping you sort of fill in the blanks in those 10 years of your son's life that you didn't know anything about. Did his death start you on a new path of, you know, learning more about him and then learning more about his fellow soldiers?
Yes and no, because some of the things I'd like to know, I'd love to know about the missions and the funny stories and that kind of stuff. But the military is kind of trained that no, don't tell those stories to the families. I was just up at Fort Lewis 2 weeks ago and met with the JTACs, and I encouraged them to tell their stories. And I even said, you know, it just popped out of my mind. I said, I know my son killed people, but I still would like, there's a part of me that would like to live the adventure, because Kyle's my youngest, sorry. Christopher had told us, someday I have stories to tell, and we'll never know those. And I've even expressed to the generals, I don't agree with you not telling families, because everybody who served with him knows my son's legacy and what he did, but the family does not know that and can't pass that down to their own family. So I just have a little different viewpoint, but I walk to the tune of a different drummer anyway.
Well, you know, I get that impression about you, Scotty, and I tell you what, someday I'd really like to meet you in person. Tell us a little bit about Blackside Publishing Company.
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. When Christopher was killed, my background's ministry. My dad was a minister. My husband was a minister. I've always been in ministry. And when Christopher was killed, I just said to God, you know what? I'm not going to rattle any doors. If you open a door, I will walk through it. Because in the past, when you're raised in ministry, you're raised to serve others, put their needs ahead of yours. And, for instance, when I went through my divorce, I started a single-parent ministry. And this time I just thought, no, I think it's the first time in my life I put myself first and decided I would take care of myself. And one day I got a call from Marty Scoveland, and he had started Havoc Journal. He came to my house, and I mentioned to him, I have no clue what my son did. 10 years of his life is a black hole. And from that, Marty decided to write The Violence of Action, and he asked me if I contribute to it. Well, okay, so The Violence of Action, that sounded violent to me. I actually didn't know what it meant. I'm like published in books like Love is a Verb, Christmas Miracles, you know, The Mommy Diary.
Right.
And also at that time, I thought, well, I'm not sure if I want to publish in something where probably every other word will be the F word. Now, I've had an epiphany on the F word, okay? I know it's the Army Rangers noun, verb, adjective, and exclamation point, and it doesn't bug me at this point. So I wrote that article he asked me to write for Havoc Journal. But when I heard Marty was starting the publishing company, I thought, I would really like to be a part of that. But I thought, nope. I told God I'm not going to rattle any doors. Well, and one day one of the guy that Marty hired called me, and we were just discussing things. And he says, you've got to call Marty. You've got to call Marty. He's got to take you on. And so I explained to him what I just told you. Well, the next day Marty called me. And then in time, Marty was working very hard and decided to give up three different entities that he had started. And basically he gave me Blackside Publishing. We still had some contracts, and I wanted to honor those. And it did take, my life did change direction, not just because of Blackside Publishing, but when your child is killed, the first thing the Gold Star moms told me was, your address book will change.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true. And people I was best friends with, it isn't that they didn't care. It's just I withdrew to grieve. And by the time I was ready to reconnect, they'd all moved on in their lives.
Scotty, hold that thought, because I want to explore that a little bit more, because I really truly believe that you can help all of us understand this better and be much more sensitive and appreciative on Memorial Day. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes life has a way of sending just what we need when we need it from an unexpected source. When we come back, we'll be talking with Scotty about her encounter in a Denver grocery store. Stick around. I wear an aluminum bracelet, the kind that has developed a certain combined patina of scratches and shiny from decades of wear. It was worn by my mother-in-law during the Vietnam War and handed down to her daughter, who would become my wife. Now I wear it. Inscribed on the bracelet, Lieutenant Nick Carpenter, June 25, 1968. Nicholas was from Cincinnati, and he was piloting an A-6 intruder aircraft over Vietnam when his plane was hit by anti-aircraft fire. His flight officer was able to eject, but Nick was killed in the wreckage. He was 26 years old. I never met Nick Carpenter, but I remember him. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined on the phone by Scotty Domey, who is a Gold Star mom. And Scotty, as I mentioned before, really leaning on you. I feel I feel selfish for even saying that. but this is a tough show for me, and I imagine it's a kind of a tough weekend for you, Scotty.
Well, you know what's really interesting, Ben, is the emotions start welling up. It's like my body knows. And sometimes I'm kind of sideswiped by or blindsided by the emotions. And I go, oh, it's Memorial Day weekend. I know that sounds a little crazy, but it ends up the day isn't always as bad as the emotional buildup. And it's something that it's like programmed into the body.
Scotty, I encourage folks, visit habitjournal.com, and I encourage them to look at some of the articles that are posted there. One is the one that you wrote called Love and Loss, Dreading Memorial Day. A quote from that article, a query posed to a Gold Star mom who lost her son 50 years ago in Vietnam failed to give me hope I so desired. Please tell me mourning the loss of my son will get easier. The loss and pain never gets easier, just different. I don't allow myself to think about it as much. Not the answer I wanted to hear, just makes me confront this reality. I can't change his story. However, I can choose to face the history of my future without my son and live a life filled with purpose and passion that honors my son. Scotty, as I mentioned before, I kind of teased before the break, sometimes life has a way of sending us a message right at the right moment in time for the right purpose. Tell us about your encounter in that grocery store in Denver. This is such a powerful, powerful story.
Well, I was actually coming back from a writer's conference where I did a keynote, and it was actually about my son and talking about the importance of writing your story. And my favorite grocery store in Denver is a Pacific Asian market. It's like an artist date. They just have everything. I have no clue what half of it is, but I always go in and try to find something to buy. And one of the things I noticed this, especially this time, was there were very few white people in there. There were Muslims and blacks and, all colors except white. And when I went to check out, there was this little gal who was wearing a headscarf. And I don't even know why I can't remember what triggered her to say, I'm not from this country. And I said, well, what country are you from? And she said, Afghanistan. And I said, oh, my son was killed there. And her response was to comfort me with her faith and to tell me he's alive, he's with God. He's our hero. And I mentioned to her, I said, well, I'm a Christian and I believe he's with God too. And then we both started to tear up. And as she's checking me out, we're talking and about her country and her having to leave her country. And I made a comment. I said, I think it's my understanding that the Taliban are really evil because of some stories I have been told that would appall the American people if they understood the mindset of terrorists, how extreme their mindset is. So before she says she wanted to exchange contact information so we can connect and remain in contact. And it was just very, you know, it was really sweet. I think what people forget is we're mourning our dead, but in all those mm-hmm. countries where people are victims of horrible, horrible stuff, they're mourning also. And so my heart has always been, I would say, with, you know, people are just people, no matter where you are. During the 70s, I traveled with a singing group behind the Iron Curtain, in the Iron Curtain countries. And politics aside, most mom and dads, they want to live a peaceful life, raise their children. And I think we get distracted by all the politics and, you know, some of the clickbait in the media that highlights the worst of the worst.
Scotty, a couple Oh, gosh, about a couple of months ago, I had Matthew Marsden on the show. He's an actor who one of his first big breaks was playing a role in Black Hawk Down. And he had a quote that just really, really floored me. I mean, so much so I kind of cut and paste it, and I'm recycling it on my social media. And now, keep in mind, this is a British actor. And he was talking about when he was prepping and doing the training for Black Hawk Down, there's a young Army Ranger, about 19 years old, and he was so impressed with them. They're talking, and Matthew said, well, you'd die for me, wouldn't you? And the Ranger says, yes, sir, yes, sir. And Matthew's thinking, wait a minute, I'm not even a U.S. citizen. And I guess the point of all that was he touched on what you're saying is when we think about Memorial Day and those that have sacrificed so much to preserve our freedoms, it's not just here in the U.S. There are thousands. Well, think about Europe, World War II. There's millions of people who owe their liberties to these men and women who signed that contract in blood. And it really inspires me. And I think your encounter with this Muslim, Afghan Muslim woman in the grocery store made me think a lot about that.
Well, one of the things that she kept saying over and over again was thank you. Thank you that our American troops were heroes and they had improved the situation there. And I think that's what we forget. And when I posted that article on my Facebook page, one of the Gold Star moms said, the Taliban killed my son, but this I just never knew that the Afghanis were appreciative of what we'd done. And a lot of it, you know, the media is going to promote what the media is going to promote. You know, if it leads, it bleeds. Oh, no, mm-hmm. if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah. You know, Scotty, the other thing I really took from this article, among other things, was she's Muslim, you're Christian, but you found a common place there. But I found it interesting, and I think you bring this out in the article. Whenever she was talking about Chris, your son, she always talked about him in the present tense.
She did. She did not talk about him in the past tense. And I didn't realize that until I got home. When I got home, I immediately started writing it, so I would just remember the details. And I thought, that's very interesting. She doesn't talk about him in the past tense. And I think that's what triggered her when I said, my son was killed in Afghanistan. Mm. And she said, oh, no, he's alive. He's with God. And that is true, and that is my faith. But I just thought it was so sweet that a Muslim lady used her faith to comfort me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. Scotty, when we come back, I want to continue to pursue the idea of Memorial Day. And, you know, I'm pretty strong in my feelings, and you obviously are too. But again, it's America. Folks can do or feel how they want on Memorial Day. But hopefully we'll provide some additional education. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller-Garcia. I'm joined by Scotty Domay, a Gold Star mom, on this special Memorial Day broadcast. We'll be right back. Several years ago, I got an airplane in Dallas-Fort Worth to fly back to my home city. Right after I sat down, I noticed an older gentleman wearing a Vietnam veteran hat, and he was seated right across the aisle from a young soldier in uniform. They struck up a conversation, as you would naturally expect. When we landed, the pilot asked us all to remain in our seats because we had some special guests on board. He announced there was a Gold Star family that was departing. Down the aisle came a woman and her two daughters. The mother was grasping a folded U.S. flag to her chest. Both the Vietnam veteran and that young soldier stood up as best they could in the cramped confines of an airplane and saluted. I didn't know it at that time, but later that week I would be attending the memorial service for her husband and their father. I didn't know Chief Master Sergeant Nick McCaskill, but I remember him. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined by Scotty Domay, who's a Gold Star mother. She writes lots of great stuff. Most of it you can find at thehavocjournal.com. Scotty, it's funny, my producer came in. I was telling him, I said, I feel guilty about getting choked up, and you know, especially compared to your story. And he said something very wise. He says, you know, there's something wrong with you if you don't.
That's true. Well, you know, one of the reasons I think writing is so important and why I actually encourage service members to write is it's healing. I remember when Marty asked me to write for The Violence of Action, I said, well, Marty, I don't think it's going to be a fit for your book because I'll probably be pretty passionate about my faith. And he said, well, that's exactly what I want, Scotty, because it's going to be very painful. I want the book to end with something inspiring and hopeful because writing these stories will be very painful for the men. But after writing some of those stories, some of those guys went on to write more. It's important to get that out because if you just keep it inside, it makes you sick.
Scotty, and by the way, that was a very good book. I don't want to say I enjoyed it because it was a rough book to read, but it was a very good book. You, another quote from your Havoc Journal article, Love and Loss, Dreading Memorial Day. You say, now I duel between attempts to enlighten or extend patience toward those who, for whatever their reasons, appear to give little or no thought to sacrifice or to appreciate the privileges and responsibilities of their freedom. Scotty, I sometimes, well, I don't regret it, but I feel, you know, some people, it is a celebration this holiday. They're okay saying Happy Memorial Day. I'm not. What's your take on that, Scotty? What is the best way to address that with folks as part of that education process?
You know, that's part of why I write, because I was in their shoes before Christopher was killed. I didn't really understand the depth of meaning of Memorial Day honoring our fallen. As a kid growing up in the church, it was the church picnic, having a good time. When I was older, going to the beach with friends, it was a day off. And then as a single mom, it was just like a day I could spend with my boys. So I was just as ignorant as other people. But now that's why I write to, for a lot of us, it is really, it's a very painful reminder. And one of a Gold Star parent's deepest fears that their child will be forgotten. So Memorial Day is just one of those times that is that we can remember people who sacrificed their lives for our freedom.
Absolutely. I want to, you know, folks need to remember, too, that it's not just the line of work that our men and women of the military are in is a dangerous game, whether someone's shooting at you or not. And one of the Gold Star mothers or wives, I guess you reference in your article, her husband, I believe, was killed in a training accident.
He still died while serving his country.
Right.
You know what? Even those who died by suicide served their country. They just died from the invisible wounds of wars. Even those who are killed in car accidents or die from a physical disease, they were serving our country when they died in service.
No question. You won't get any argument from me on that, Scotty. What, as someone who has walked this path, Scotty, what for those families out there listening, whether the sorrow is more aged or more recent, what have you found to be helpful? What kind of groups or other support is out there that they can reach out to or seek out?
Well, I will say a month after Christopher's military funeral, I'm fortunate. We have a really wonderful Gold Star chapter, Gold Star Moms chapter. And I went to a meeting and walked in, and my first two questions, they totally understood what I was going through. And it's the other, but if you don't have that available, TAPS, TAPS.org. It's called the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. It has an 800 line that you can call, and they totally get what we're going through. And I think it's important to talk to others. The other thing that helped me was my best friend, husband had served in the military, and so like my first Christmas. I'm like totally out of it. They invite me to their home for Christmas. And even though, so they understood, you know, the importance of Memorial Day, and they included me in their family activities the first couple years. And it was just nice to be in something that was normal, because my life didn't feel normal anymore. There was everything that my whole life was blown apart. So just being with friends, participating in their activities, even if you sit there quietly and you still hurt, it's just nice to know that there's still some kind of normality in life.
Scotty, one of the lessons I learned early on in business is the art of keeping your darn mouth shut. You know, very often when you're in a business negotiation, people are uncomfortable with silence, and you don't always have to talk. Sometimes it's okay to just sit there and be quiet. In the instance where someone like myself or other civilians who haven't faced a personal loss or a close loss of someone that we knew, what do you say when there's nothing to say? And is it just the presence and the thought that makes a big difference?
Well, for me, it was just being able to be in the midst of something that was normal, and it just mm-hmm. felt good, even though I may not have talked a lot. I know one of the things I noticed on Facebook, like some of my friends would get together, but after Christopher was killed, they didn't invite me. And I remember thinking, oh, I wish you'd invited me. That would have been a nice outing. Now, I might have gone and I might not have gone. But I think that when people are grieving, it's important to just draw them in. But, you know, people are uncomfortable with things that's out of their normal bailiwick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's my – and people – you know, my father was a pastor as well. And people grieve in different ways. It's all unique, and none of it's right, none of it's wrong. But the making the effort, I guess, is something. When you talk about veteran suicide, and one of the worst things people can do is after the fact say, you know, I shoulda, I coulda, I thought something, but I didn't do anything about it. In the case of Gold Star families, Scotty, I guess, would you say it'd be better to reach out and then just be comfortable with whatever that person's or that family's response is?
Yeah, actually even encourage them. Like, invite them for coffee or just show up at their house. Like, one of my girlfriends, but she did have a military background, would just show up on my doorstep with a treat and come in and talk, and we didn't necessarily talk about Christopher. We just talked and laughed, and it was wonderful to laugh. Well, for me, it was wonderful to laugh. That's the way I've always handled hard times. I know some Gold Star parents can't laugh, don't want to laugh, are offended by someone laughing. So, you know, it goes back to how different people grieve.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Scotty, because one thing I've learned from my interaction, particularly with the special forces, like your son's unit, is they do tend to develop this sort of gallows humor. And I at first got offended a little bit, got my nose out of joint, got my feelings hurt. And then, you know, someone who was much more wise than I took me aside and said, you know, if they're not giving you a hard time, it's because they don't really like you. And so.
Well, I know when Christopher was married, I'm sitting on the deck, and on the left-hand side of the guys telling their stories. On the right side, the women are talking about breastfeeding. So I positioned my chair more to the left side. I wanted to hear the stories. The whole time, Christopher's glaring at me, get back to your corner, you know. And at first, some of the things they were sharing, it's shocking because war is shocking. Mm-hmm. And they're laughing. And then I realized this really is funny. This is how they release the insanity of the things they've seen. I know I worked for a well-known Christian media company, and we answered letters. I mean, people would respond to the broadcasts that would tap into their pain, and they were exhausting letters to read. And we in our department developed gallows humor, but it was to relieve the stress that's inside so that we wouldn't be overcome and taken down by the heaviness of what we were reading and responding to, hopefully encourage and comfort those people who wrote to us.
You know, Scotty, life goes on, and I believe right now you're attending a graduation ceremony or a graduation party while you're taking time to talk to us. So
I am. It's the family that took me under their wing when Christopher was killed.
And so you're seeing those generations move forward. That's got to be comforting.
It is. It's really wonderful. Could I share one little thing about a grief burst?
Sure.
We're talking about mourning. You never know when it's going to hit. Like 2 weeks ago, I was in Seattle with my granddaughters, and one of my granddaughters is in gymnastics, which makes me really happy. And so I went to her, you know, to gymnastics with her, and they let me out on the floor to take pictures, and I felt something welling up inside, but I didn't know what it was. When I went to thank the staff for letting me trail along behind her, I started crying, and I left and sobbed. And what I realized was my son would have loved to have seen her at gymnastics. So you never know when something's going to well up. We've got the holidays that we face, but then we also face grief bursts of when you're kind of face-to-face with, well, my son will never, ever get to it. Enjoy that. Although a friend of mine did say, yeah, but here's the other perspective. He's looking down on that and seeing it anyway.
We're both people of faith, Scotty. I was just going to say that very same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Gold Star mom, Scotty Dumais. A lot of us observe Memorial Day in different ways. Scotty is packing her bag. She'll hear more about that when we come back. Stick around. Before the United States officially entered the Second World War, there was a select group of young men who went to Canada and volunteered to join what they called then the Eagle Squadrons. They started their careers flying for the Royal Air Force, and eventually some of them joined the 4th or rolled into the 4th Fighter Group flying out of England. One of these was Ralph Hopper, called by his friends the last of the goofball pilots. He wore his hair long by the standards of that day and flew every mission in his college football jersey rather than his flight suit. He had a propensity after the mission objectives were met to go off on his own, hunting Huns, as he liked to call it. Ralph the Kid Hopper was credited with 30 and a half enemy planes destroyed. He flew his last mission July 2nd, 1944. He was 23 years old. I didn't know Kid Hopper, but I remember him. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Scotty Dumais. Scotty is a Gold Star mom. Her son, Christopher, was killed in Afghanistan October 22nd, 2011. He was 29 years old. Scotty, before we go on to this next, I wanted to end this on an uplifting note, and you certainly have a very uplifting story to wrap this all up with. But before we do that, remind our listeners again on this weekend, well, all year round, but on this weekend in particular, where can folks reach out for help? You mentioned TAPS.org.
TAPS is wonderful, especially, yes, yep. They have a 24-hour hotline, and I'm sorry I don't know the number, but if you just log on to TAPS.org, you'll find that.
Okay. Scotty, I mentioned, and I think we've got you looking that up for me there, John? All right, we got you covered, Scotty. We'll get that number. I teased before the break, a lot of us, observe Memorial Days in different ways. Scotty Dumais is packing her suitcase and a parachute?
Well, actually a uniform that the guys had sent to me. And they don't know the difference between women's sizes and men's sizes. It's like about 20 sizes too big. Yeah, last August I was at Fort Benning at the Army Ranger Hall of Fame, and this name came up, Jean-Marc Lefranc. And I'm thinking, I just can't imagine. That name, I said, that name's French. I can't imagine a Frenchman being a Ranger. Well, he has served on the D-Day Committee since 1987, and he's president. And I just thought, oh, and then all the Rangers were buzzing because this is the 75th anniversary. And I thought, I want to go to D-Day. I want to go to D-Day. And so Jean-Marc sent me all the places to stay, and they were all in French, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. And Matthew Griffin, he's the CEO of Combat Flip Flops. He served with my son, posted he was jumping at the 75th. And I just messaged him and said, hey, Griff, would it be possible for me to tandem parachute jump with a Ranger to honor my son at D-Day? And he said yes. And so I have my World War II helmet that weighs 3 pounds. And I was like shocked. I've got to hold my head up because I guess they're doing a documentary. And I have my uniform, and I'm going to be jumping with the Rangers. But this is where you made a comment about how Rangers, how they feel about Gold Star parents. They do anything for you. My problem is I just don't know what – I don't never know how to ask for help. But, yeah, I think they would die for us. And they're just – they're amazing men. And he just said yes. I mean, there was no thinking about it. And so since last August or September, we've been planning that. So next Saturday, I'm getting on a plane to head to France, to Normandy. And so the Rangers are amazing at planning. So Zach got our airfares so that we land within 10 minutes of each other at De Gaulle Airport so we can rent a car and drive to Normandy.
Now, Scotty, have you departed a perfectly good airplane on purpose before?
Okay, well, I will tell you, I had decided before I jumped, I wanted to do it once. And I will tell you, this is something I had always wanted to do with Christopher. And in my 20s, I actually wanted to learn to skydive, but Christopher's dad, like, this is before kids, absolutely not. He was like, that was too scary, and he wasn't going to let me. And so I wanted to make one jump before D-Day. And I was telling the guys, and they were saying, oh, no, wait till D-Day. Well, what I hadn't told them, and they still don't know, is I'd woken up at night with a couple of anxiety attacks about this. So I wanted to get that over with. So a couple weeks ago, I flew up to Seattle and jumped with the team who I'll be jumping with. And yeah, I was hooked to Zach, the guy who's, you know, I'm clipped to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was amazing. I just want you to know, if I was a rich woman, I would do it every day and I'd learn to do it on my own. I loved it.
You know, Scotty, the reason I finished up with Kit Hoffer you know, and the names that I will always remember and repeat was because it is coming up on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. We recently had one of the grandson of one of the Band of Brothers, the original Band of Brothers folks, and he did a little book. And I did not know this till I read his book, but many of those paratroopers, you know, had never been on an aircraft before they signed up. And then after their service was done, many of them had never actually been on a plane that had landed before. Because they'd gone up a whole bunch of times, but they never, you know, they went ahead and jumped out. So good on you, Scotty. Very much, I'm glad that you're doing that, and I hope that that's a very joyous celebration of Chris's memory for you. Folks, again, this weekend, anytime, if you're having some challenges, visit TAPS.org, TAPS.org. That phone number, that 800 number is 1-800-959-TAPS, 1-800-959-8277. Scotty, it's been a true honor and a joy spending some time with you here on American Warrior Radio. Any last suggestions you want to share with our listeners out there on this this holiday?
Well, maybe just when you're getting together with friends, maybe just stop for 1 minute and remember those who are fallen and remember those who really struggle through this day and say their names.
I couldn't agree more. And ladies and gentlemen, go out, visit a cemetery in your hometown. I mean, heck, get on the interweb. You can find lots of names out there. It's not hard. Find one name, two names, three names. Repeat them quietly and remember their families and your prayers, just like the family of Scotty Domé. Scotty, once again, thank you. Have a great jump. Ladies and gentlemen, find us on Facebook, this podcast and others, AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Please, please share with your friends. We even have a Twitter account at Warrior Radio TUC. If you like what you're hearing and you'd like to help us spread these messages, visit patreon.com, patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. You can kick in a couple of bucks to help us spread these important messages. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. May your Memorial Day be filled with good memories and peace. This has been your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.